Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer. And as we look to our Lord Jesus in prayer tonight, we have a request here on behalf of Sister Susan Wilson, who has a female problem. And I would like to encourage your faith tonight. If there's any others here in the building that have a special need, we promise where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. As we come here believing tonight, looking unto Him who is the author and the finish of our faith, let us be encouraged to know that when we stand praying, whatsoever we ask the Father in His name, He promised to give it unto us. We do not come on the basis of our own good works or any merit, on anything that we might have done, but we come in the all-sufficiency of that finished work. That is where we place our confidence tonight, knowing that our Lord Jesus Christ was accepted. He was raised from the dead as a sign that He met every requirement. All that Jehovah required, He met it. He fully satisfied the just demands of a holy law. And to know that through His finished work, we can come and have confidence, asking anything in His name. God promised to give it unto us. God does not lie. He keeps all of His promises. You see, the reason we don't have is because we don't ask. And the reason we don't ask is because we don't believe, but ask that your joys might be full tonight. If you ask for a bread, He would not give you a stone. You ask for a fish, He would not give you a serpent. So let us have faith. Let us look to what He has already done and come boldly with confidence before His throne of grace, knowing we shall receive grace. We shall find grace to help us in this time of need. And surely there are many that is in need tonight. Blessed be His name, but He promised to supply all our needs according to His riches. Praise His wonderful name. Our gracious Father, Lord, we count it a blessed privilege tonight to know, dear God, that we can approach Your great presence because of the sufficiency of that finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we remember You said if we draw nigh unto You, You will draw nigh unto us. So, Father, as we approach the great presence of the living God, and by faith we look to that sacrifice that was accepted on our behalf, He who was made a propitiation for our sins, Lord, we come believing that tonight, Father. And we come, Lord, confessing our sins and our shortcomings, all our mistakes, all our failures, dear God. Lord, we come and place it in the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. By faith, dear God, that praying that blood would be applied to every confession tonight. And dear God, knowing the true confession and faith, we are subject to all the powers of God tonight. Oh, gracious God, to know that we can stand upon the infallibility of Your divine promise. Knowing whatsoever we ask, Father, You will give it unto us. Without faith, it is impossible to please You. And You said that he that cometh unto You must first believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him tonight. I pray, dear God, that the great Holy Spirit who is here would move in the midst of the people. Oh, God, where You see faith in their hearts being exercised in Your divine promise tonight, Lord Jesus, Your Holy Spirit would respond to that faith tonight, Father. And yet, God, where there's a need, You would supply it, even as You promised, our God shall supply Your needs according to His riches. Lord, we know You don't give false promises tonight. But yet, God, knowing that there are those who believe You, those who trust You. Oh, God, those who are looking unto You tonight. I pray, dear God, out of the abundance of Thy goodness, out of the abundance of Thy grace and mercy, as You look down upon Your children, dear God, You administer by the great Holy Spirit that is present whatsoever they have need of, whether it's a physical need, whether it's a spiritual need, whether it's a financial need, whatever it is, that would help them to be drawn into a closer walk with you. Lord, into a greater fellowship, into a greater experience, whatever obstacle that might hinder them tonight. And Father, where there is not faith sufficient, I pray that the Holy Spirit would give faith unto them. Remember one time in the Bible, that man when he came unto you, he said, Lord, help my unbelief. Oh God, and you would drop that faith, Father, and you would lift faith in a higher bracket tonight. Faith, Lord, would be sufficient that they might receive out of what you have already made available, Father. Oh God, that they would not have to go away empty. But Lord, right here in the service tonight, right here in your presence tonight, they could receive what they have need of. Oh God, isn't God good to give us so many blessings? Undeserving, that's what we are. But dear God, we come asking tonight that this would be done for that people, knowing, oh God, it would encourage your heart to believe. And this time, when many are hurting, when many are fainting, when many, oh God, need to see such a clear indication of your Holy Spirit giving witness, giving confirmation to take away their fears, to take away their doubts, to give them settled peace, oh God, that you will do it, Father. Oh Lord, to help them in this hour, because it is your people, oh God, and we are praying, dear God, in their hearts, Lord, be settled and established tonight. Oh God, they can know you care for them. He says, we cast our cares upon you. You care it for us. May they care to believe tonight. May they care to trust you. May they care to exercise their faith in your promise. And may you care to honor that faith. Oh God, may you care to honor that one who would believe your word and be closer drawn to you tonight. Lord, this dear sister, Lord, with this female problem, Father, we stand here tonight as a praying group of people believing in your promise, already having confessed our sins and our shortcomings, and now we stand upon your promise, dear God. You said, if two shall agree as upon touching anything, it shall be done. I pray, dear God, that the Holy Spirit would be so mindful of her that you would show her your grace and your mercy, oh God, and you will deliver her from this condition, Father. Lord Jesus, if she's lacking faith, may you give it to her tonight, Lord, to let her know you care for her, oh God, that you said in your word, above all things, that she should prosper in health. Help, may you grant it, Lord. And Father, as we gather for the service tonight, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit, Lord, would settle the people. I pray, dear God, that you would, Lord, pour in your love, pour in your oil and your wine, oh God. And Father, may you speak to your word with such a clear voice that the Holy Spirit make the scripture so clear. It will become so relevant and personalized and applicable to each and every one that they can find a channel, oh God, where they can receive faith, anointed faith, Lord, to see clearly what is your will and purpose for them in this hour, that they will not have to be afraid or wondering in any way, oh God, but they can make steps of assurance. They can walk with confidence. I know many might be hurting. I know many might be confused. I know many, oh God, might be a little distressed, Lord, but I pray, Father, you who is all sufficient tonight, will take full charge. You, surely you know every need, Father, and I stand here as your servant tonight. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would, Lord, give me favor in their sight, that they will know I'm here to tell them the truth. And oh God, they would receive me and receive your word, and I would get them to believe me. And Lord Jesus, even as you told your prophet, if you get the people to believe you, not even cancer will stand before him. Nothing could stand before his prayer. And oh God, nothing will be able to stand before their prayer. Lord, may they look to me as one that is coming to help them, oh God. One that is coming to, Lord, minister your word of truth to help them into a closer walk, even as we sang that here tonight. I pray, oh God, you just have your way in our midst, and you would just bless your word and send it forth in power. Lord God, and may you unveil yourself and make yourself so real. Would you do that tonight, Father? We pray that you would grant it, it might encourage every heart. We love you and we appreciate you. We come to this service into your hands. Thank you in advance for all these things, for we pray and believe in the precious, almighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And could we all say amen?
Amen.
Amen. God richly bless you tonight. Certainly appreciate being here. And we are glad to be in his house for service. I just felt I should preach a little bit and maybe just start preaching the word a little bit. And well, maybe take a short little message and then we talk some a little bit by God's grace. And certainly appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, knowing he is all sufficient, he is faithful. And he is more than able to do the exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or even dare to think. Let us believe him. Let us trust him. Let us expect from him. Amen. And, you know, you might be in a situation. You might be maybe where you ought to be, or you might feel discouraged. You might be, your mind might be in a strait. You might just be wanting, just trusting and listening, turn out to be God or whatever it is. You don't have no fear. Amen. God's word, he stands with his word. Amen. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall he preach except he be sent? Amen. And you will know his God's word, the Spirit of God beareth witness. Amen. And the word of God would be plain. It will not be some confused thing. Amen. When you see the word plain, you see his bloody footprint. You have confidence where to walk in. Because you don't have to work yourself into a faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. The word brings faith. The word creates faith. The word breaks fears and doubts and drives it away from you. And the word anchors that soul and gives you stability. Amen. And let me tell you this, the devil cannot stand before the word. Because the word is God himself. Blessed be his wonderful name. So we love you and we appreciate you, and we're just here to help you by God's grace. Amen. I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Today is the 1st of December, and I just want to. One is a beginning. One is a new beginning. 12 is worship. Wednesday is the fourth day of the week. Is the we call midweek. It's between Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And, you know, 4 is a number of deliverance. Amen. So let's just. God arranged all things, and God is perfect in what he's doing, and God does things, but you need to read and recognize how God works, and the anchor of faith, amen. God for the innocent for the foundation of the world. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, period. Probably could be billions of years inside of the earth. And conjunction, and the earth was without form and void. You don't go to the heaven and earth no more. First we see the heaven and the earth united together. Now we see the earth without the heaven. The earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved. First time you ever read the Spirit of God moving in the Bible. And I want you to know something. You listen carefully, because the word, we are trying to speak it as we believe it was given by the prophet in this day. The book has been opened. When God does something once, he has to stay with that every time. Whatever God does is perfect to begin with. Amen. And he's the same yesterday and today and forever. And he's God and he changes not. So the first move of God, we want the move of God here tonight. We don't want to move a man, we want a move of God. And if you can find where God moved the first time, he's going to move that way every time. Amen. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, when God is moving, God will speak too. Every move of God, he speaks. The word comes in a move of God. Amen. Let there be light. And there was light. The word is spoken and the word is manifested. Didn't say how long it took, but and there was light. We find it was in the fourth day the light appeared. It was already there when God created the heavens and the earth. But then it came forth because God called for it to come forth. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. May the Lord have the blessing of his word. You may have this. I want to take for the title tonight, Let There Be Light. And for a subject, and the Spirit of God move. I was seeking God as to what I should speak, and on this momentous day that is creating history. History is being made. We are speaking about a new beginning. We all gathered together and we had the meeting, and you had your own meetings, and we sat and we discussed and we realized that we want to start anew. We want a new beginning. We want a true beginning. We want a word beginning. We want to begin with God. We want the identification of the Holy Spirit in the beginning. Because he's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. And we are his workmanship, created unto good works in Christ Jesus. Amen. And, you know, it's wonderful that we can come and be like this tonight. And I want to encourage you. I know many are hurting. I know many are trusting. I know many are believing. And let me say, God is greater than all of that. Bible says, if your heart even condemn you, God is greater than your heart. Amen. Because I'm looking to him, and I trust you will look to him together with me. And we are looking to him in his word. Because as I say, I believe no matter what we go through, somebody already went through it before in his word. The word was given for examples. Now, we any man claiming to know God apart from his word is barren of life as a sterile eunuch. So we are not trying to talk about a God outside his word. God has unveiled himself in his word. This Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. And these things is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation. Is that right? So it means to say then, if there is darkness and God moved darkness, we're going to look in the Word and find out how God moved darkness. If there was something in captivity and God delivered, we're going to look in the Word and see how God delivered something that was in captivity. If there was something dead and God brought it to life, we're going to see how God brought it to life. If there was something God's going to build and he had to lay a foundation, we'll see how God laid a foundation. Is that right? And then we can find a pattern in the Word and know what we are doing is according to the Word. Amen. Then if it's not according to my thought, if it's not according to your thought, it's according to the word, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word will stand forever. Yes. And if it is the word will anchor your faith. If there is the ability in you to receive the word, when you receive that word, it's going to anchor your soul. Because that soul that can receive the word is part of the same word. Yes. How many knows that? Yes. That soul is God's thought. That soul is God's attribute. That soul is God's word. Amen. And this Bible is the written record of all God's thoughts. That's why your name is in the book. That's why the very life that your soul is to manifest is inside this word. That is why the only way you can know it is going back to the word. And the word lets you know what you are going through. And how much greater that is than having to presume, than having to wonder, than say, I ain't known a boy, maybe I scratch my head. What you think, partner? Sister, what you think? What you dream last night, brother? You don't have to do that at all. Amen. This is the human coming. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the bloodline. You know, the prophet says the gospel is like a gun. If a man has a gun and he's out in the woods and he's going to hunt there, he says he has the gun. He sees the game right there. But the winter is coming, he needs meat, and he sees the deer passing right before him, and he don't know how to use the gun to shoot the deer.
He can shoot himself in the foot, he can dislocate his shoulder. He has what it takes, amen, to get the results that he needs. But he's unable to use it properly, so he don't get the results. So that's why he said, even though we have the word, we still need a strong hand of faith. We still need to rightly divide the word, amen. We still need to put it in the right channel in order to get the right results. Amen. So praise his wonderful name. And, you know, this Bible, Genesis, opens, you know, with this great moving here. And, you know, in this book of Genesis, everything begins in Genesis. Do you know that? The prophet says, he says, everything on the earth today can be traced back to Genesis, because Genesis is the seed plot of the Bible. If you break down the word G-E-N-E-S, is genes. That is seed. I-S. See, genes. Beginnings. The origin. And everything in Genesis, in the generations of the heaven and earth, in the generations of Adam, in the generations of Noah, in the generations of Abraham, is dealing with generations. And in Genesis, God was laying his seed in his field as to what will be made fully manifest. And we are living in the book of Revelation. God wrote three Bibles. The zodiac in the sky, the pyramid, and this written Bible for the more intellectual age. He says, in the zodiac, we are living the age of Leo the Lion. In the pyramid, we are living the capital pyramid. And in the Bible, we are living in the book of Revelation. So it's the end time. We've come to the end. And then everything in Genesis has only reproduced itself and comes to fruition in the last days. That is why everything can be traced back. You can know what kind of spirit is in a certain thing. You can know it by its characteristic. Because one is your seed, one is your harvest. When you plant seed in a field, it only, the water don't make it a certain type of seed. You plant tomatoes, you plant cabbage, you plant lettuce. When rain falls on that, it's going to just bring forth the life that's already in the seed. So by what type of crop you want will be determined by what type of seed you plant. Now rain could fall day and night, like the Holy Spirit fall day and night. But if there is not planted word, it will not produce nothing. Because the rain only falls on the seed. The crop comes from the seed. That's why your former rain is a teaching rain. It is the word being planted. A sower went forth to sow. You have to catch the word and plant the seed. Then, when seed is in your field, then the husbandman waited patient for the former and the latter rain in order to get a crop. And when the rain falls, the rain only falls and plants the word. So if you sow denominationalism, when the rain falls, you're going to get denominationalism. If you sow gossip and confusion, when the rain falls, you're going to get gossipers and a bunch of confusion. Amen. If you sow fear, then you can't get faith. Amen. So to get faith, you have to plant faith. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit only quickens and brings to life the life that's already in the seed. If you plant politics, you're going to get politics. Amen. So we see then God in Genesis planted his field here. How did he plant it? And God said, let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be. And by spoken word, he planted it. Well, you know, in Exodus 19, they said, when God came down in that amber fire on the Mount Sinai, they said, let Moses speak to us, lest we die. If God speaks to us, we'll die for sure. And then God said, okay, well, now I'm speaking about a prophet. Well, and when the prophet came, the prophet said, and it shall be, and it shall be, and it shall come to pass. It was still God speaking. Amen. The same God, but he was speaking to a prophet. Same way he said, let there be light, let there be the firmament, let there be botany life, let there be marine life, let there be animal life. He was saying, and a virgin shall conceive, and it shall be light in evening time. And God's word that was going forth from his mouth, because the prophet, God in sundry time and divers manners, faith in the prophets. Is that right? Well, when it's going to unfold down until he's taken his son. And then he came down in his church. God above us, God with us, God in us. And the prophet says, no, we are not in the dispensation of God above us. We are not in the dispensation of God with us. We are in the dispensation of God in us. And if when it was God above us, David said, pierce my hands and my feet. He spoke in the first person. It wasn't God with them. He didn't condescend that low yet. Much more God in them. He said, how much more will they speak in the first person when it's God in us? What about when he says, in that day, you will know I in you and you in me? What about when he said, the bride under her messenger will become the final voice to the final age? And the spirit and the bride say, come. And what the spirit is saying to the bride, he has already said in the prophet. And what the prophet said was already laid in the word. We don't go to try to find who God's going to speak. If we understand the plan of God, God is speaking to a bride in this hour. Fine to the members of the bride. She has the mind of Christ and she knows what he wants done with the word. Amen. The thing is to recognize the presence of God. That it will not be unrecognized. That they will stumble over the veil, the badger skin. Amen. But God will give us a revelation to look beyond the badger skin and see the glory of God being revealed and imparted through his word. Amen. Hallelujah. My sheep will hear my voice. So God was speaking, let there be light. Oh my, it was a tremendous thing that was happening back there, because when you look at it and you see how God, you know, he had created first. In the beginning, created the heaven and the earth. Period. He didn't create the chaos. He didn't create the dark and void without form. He didn't create it like that. The Bible says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That word was means in the Hebrew, it became. The earth became. It came to pass that the earth, after God created it, became without form and void. Some catastrophe must have occurred. Because the great, earth was no man. And what was so good, it became very evil and full of darkness. So when God looked at it, he had to do something. He couldn't leave it like that. But to go a little further, let's just maybe backtrack a little bit to see this earth. Why is he so interested in the earth? Where was the earth before it came into existence? Was it in the mind of God? Was it in God's thoughts? Is there redemption for the earth? How many of the earth know the earth has already been baptized? How many know the earth has already been sanctified? How many of the earth is coming up for a little earnest of the Holy Spirit? And how many know there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth too? Full, complete redemption for the earth. Is that right? Is God's attribute? Does God have a plan of redemption for the earth? Sure he does. So then we know that God is interested in the earth. Why? It's his attribute. It was in him. He expressed it. It was thought and became word. It became a manifestation of his spoken word. Is that right? Yeah. How many know you when God talks? How many know God has the same plan of redemption for you that he redeems the earth with? Yeah. Amen. And if God attribute the earth was in such a fallen, dark, chaotic condition, and God had a purpose for it, and he will not leave it like that, but he came for its deliverance. He stood there for a long while and watched it dark, 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 dark. And then finally he says, it's time for this darkness to move away from my attribute. And read, and the Spirit of God moved. What kind of move is he moving? Is he moving in a positive direction? Is he moving a plan? Is he moving in the direction of his attributes? Or is he just moving about? Moving here, moving there, moving, moving, not doing nothing. He's moving with a purpose. Hallelujah! He has an objective. Amen! His movement is in relation to his attribute. Hallelujah! And his attribute is in a dark, chaotic condition. His attribute is in a condition where it needs deliverance. And God so loves his attribute, God is determined. His attribute that was in his thinking, that has been expressed, is not fulfilling the purpose that he has for it. It's not in the condition where he wants to see it in that hour. Amen. And God don't fold his hands and cry and say, oh God, look at my people, look at my attributes, look at the condition that they're in. I don't know what to do to help them. God don't do that. He's all powerful. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. I've had enough of this darkness around my attribute. Hallelujah. And so we see and the Spirit of God move. The first move of God. You take every move of God down to the Old Testament, into the New Testament, in the last days, you will see God has never, ever changed the pattern of that move. And whenever God moves, every move has the characteristic and the identification that it is still the same unchanging God. Amen! His ways does not change. He cannot improve on anything that he has done. Amen. Glory. And you know, there are five great factors of science that science is based on. It's right in the book of Genesis, even though science is starting to talk about evolution. Because it says in the beginning, that's time. God created the heavens, that is space. And the earth, that is matter. And the Spirit of God moved. That's force. And motion, it moved and begin to hover, it begin to brood on the earth. So time, space, matter, force, and motion. The five great factors that science is based on, it unfolds here to us who the real creator of science, this whole cosmic universe is. Almighty God. That was just his playthings in his great laboratory. Man is bringing destruction today to themselves because they is tampering with God's things. They fail to understand the basis on which it's established. Now, God has a basis he established his church on. God has a basis he established the individual life on. He has a basis he established the Christian home on. He has a basis he established his bride on. You see, if we can look into God workings, we can see the principle and the pattern by which God made things to exist. And then we can strive lawfully, not as one that beat at the air. We can know the approach by the word being revealed to us, bringing us to relate correctly to the things that God has ordained for us. Amen. Because there is only one way provided by God for everything. God don't have three and four ways to do something. God has one way, that's his perfect way. Any other way than the original way is a perversion. That's why 969 denominations, we have much more than that now, is a waste with God. God cannot use it. Why? It's a perversion of the original way. And then when God sent a prophet and the anointing to restore, he had to bring back one Lord, one faith, one baptism in the last days. He had to come back to the original. Amen. So we realize then that when we come to Genesis, God moved. God had a provided way for a move of God. God had a provided way for the deliverance of his attribute in bondage. God had a provided way to bring his attribute that was in his thinking, that was expressed and made manifest. But yet not in the divine order and position that God intended that attribute to be in to truly fulfill God's purpose. So when God had to move in deliverance to bring it to its ordained place, he had a specific way to move and do it, laying a pattern. Laying a pattern to show he's the unchanging God. Whether the attribute, the earth, whether the attribute expressed in flesh, an individual, whether the church, whether the people, watch and see, God's pattern remains the same. Let me lay some background to some of that to you, out of the message. And the message God called to transform. The prophet said, I think in this morning, in Genesis 1, this world is without form. And it was void, and darkness was upon the earth. Nothing but a complete chaos. And when this world was in that condition, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, and the entire picture was changed from a total chaos to a Garden of Eden. Look at what it was. And God changed it. What the move of God transformed it. The move of God delivered it and made it habitable for God himself. God wants to dwell in his people. He said, let us see God. We see God in the rainbow. Jehovah of the old is Jesus of the new. We see God in his creation, in the lion of Judah, in the Lamb of God, in the morning star, the bright and morning star, in the Son of David, Son of Man, Son of God. We see God in his creation. He said, let's see God in his Son. Little fishes, Jesus Christ, give you life. Storm, go back where you come from. We see God in his Son. Amen. Hallelujah. But then he says, let us see God in his Word. Glory. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Opening the seven seals, the token, statue of a perfect man. What do we see? We mighty God unveiled before us. God in his Word. But the last thing was, let us see God in his people. Let us see God in his people. God wants to dwell in his people. But look at the condition of God's people and that they get themselves in sometimes. Look at them in Egypt, in bondage, under the taskmasters. Look at them there in Judaism, trapped in dead traditions. Jesus said, vain do his worship. But then look at them in the day of Pentecost. This is that what Joel speaks. Look at Joshua and Caleb again. Stop the sun. Is that right? So God can deliver his attribute and put it in the place where he can dwell in them. Look at the prophet. He said, had it not been for the grace of God, I'd be a murderer. Trying to kill six boys in cold blood. Had a temper like a boss saw. The policeman poisoned the dog. He took the rifle full of revenge to go after him and shoot him. Such a temper, yet so compromising, couldn't face his own mother-in-law. And not being able to face his own mother-in-law caused him. But his brothers died, his wife died, his daughter died. God had to chastise him to get him to fulfill the will of God. Yet, look at God deliver his attribute from that condition. That he unveiled a mighty God. Amen. Hallelujah. He stood there as a little fish. Jesus Christ, give me back your life. Storm, go back where you come from. Let a squirrel come from there. Let one come from over here. Why? God taking his attribute, delivering it, making it habitable, that God himself come down and dwell inside it and walk in it, after he's separated from all darkness. Amen. What is a church? What is a nation? What is an individual? What is an attribute like the earth? We see the pattern it was the same. Shouldn't we have confidence tonight? If we are attributes of God? Shouldn't we have confidence when we can recognize the unchanging God? Even 1993, since he spoke, since he moved that first time, but thousands and thousands of years ago, to deliver that first attribute. And you see him all these thousands of years after, coming down to the same channel, in a little building like this in the back here. It shows God don't forget his word. God is unchanging. It's sure God has a provided way for everything. I'm not talking about a message. I'm not preaching a sermon. I'm applying a principle. We're facing a condition. And I'm saying Genesis is the beginnings. And I'm saying the Spirit of God moved. And I'm saying when he moved, he spoke. And I'm saying God attributed that in bondage to be delivered. Amen. And become habitable for God to dwell inside of them. Because God has a purpose to live in them. And I say that it's far greater than anybody little idea or little feeling or negative feeling to one another. I'm saying that is so great. We can look at the cause and forget all our oughts against one another. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. I'm saying the cause of God is so far greater. I shouldn't study what I can't get along with this and I'll get along with it. I can try everything and say, God, you are so great. And I see you in your word. Amen. Let me surrender my head to you. Amen. Glory. We didn't read the earth was crying and bawling and begging and pleading. Oh, Lord, I want to be delivered. I want to be delivered. I'm in darkness. I can't bring forth nothing. I'm so bound up here. But we see sovereign grace. We see the sovereignty of God. How many know every move of God is sovereign? How many know the prophet in Tucson overlooked and trying to do God a service according to his, without his business will? He says a revival is a sovereign move of God. God in his sovereignty drops. God chooses who he wants, do what he wants, does it the way he always does it in the Bible. How will you know God? God is identified by his characteristics. Amen. So what? So some great catastrophe must have occurred. Because we see this earth was so clear. Sometimes the people, brother God touched them. They're out in the world and the grace of God passed through the neighborhood, passed through the home. Maybe one day reading a book, some meet somebody, witness them. Something touched their heart, going through some hard trials. In difficult times, and the Holy Spirit in sovereign grace begin to bring them out. Oh, there's a lot I want to serve you. I want to live for you. I want to line up with your word. Show me what your truth is. Then God brings them to that truth. And they come to the knowledge of that truth. And then you find that, but it just seems that it becomes your short-lived. Because they get into situations. And then next thing you know, they seem so far gone from that heavenly place, that lofty place, where they seem that their heart was just to do the will of God. Their mouth was just to sing the praises of God. Their soul was just to worship God. But then they find themselves in such a condition, and they look from where they've fallen, like the prophet said, eagle in the cage, trapped in the cage, and look to them bars there into the heavenlies, and fly together, and hit them in their bars and crash back down. After a while, the eye was bruised, their head was busted up, all their feathers was getting loose and everything else. They didn't know what to do. And you know what happened? That eagle, he said, it was the saddest sight I ever saw. To see that something kept him back from the deliverance that he longed for. He said, but you know something? I saw a sadder sight than that. He said, well, I was walking through the zoo. He said, well, after I saw some young men and young women who was ordained to be sons and daughters of God, made in the image and likeness of God, drinking beer and whiskey and these things. He says, they were so much more bound than that eagle that he saw there. And so it is here, when you see that earth that was perfect in the beginning, becoming a ruin, becoming a place, the abode of darkness. Nice, fine young lady in the statue of a young lady, nice, fine young man in the statue of a young man. Next thing you want to take some zombie kind of haircut. Let the human go in some strange kind of fashion. You know, something have perverted the taste. Something have confused the mind, and they no longer could see what the image they were supposed to be like. A darkness have set in. In the mind the other day, the vision of what they was made to be become obscure. So they don't know what they ought to be like. And the Bible says, you beholding the glory of the Lord will be changed into it. Well, let me tell you, that's a principle. Whatever you behold, you'll be changed into it. Yeah. If you behold the glory of the Lord, you'll be changed into it. Yeah. If you put your attention and begin to admire something that is demonic and from the fifth dimension, yeah, you'll be changed into that too. Yeah. In which image Satan has implanted in the subconscious, what you see and what you hear, it gets to your defenses. You get in your spirit and begin to reason with it. And because you want to be accepted, you kind of figure, well, maybe, you know, that's not looking nice because you don't have revelation. The soul is not really anchored by the word. See? So you find, well, maybe that's not nice. Maybe people are going to accept me now. People are going to notice me now. You want to be noticed. You want to be loved. And you're trying to find a shortcut to getting kids because you don't know what the reality is. It's difficult, man. You see, young boys, young girls, the devil just bend them out of shape sometimes. Why? Because sometimes in the home, when you have godly parents standing there, walking there, reflecting fatherhood, reflecting motherhood, then a young girl who's a potential mother and a young boy who's a potential father could see the full expression of what fatherhood is, could see the expression of motherhood is, and walk step by step into it. But because the world has come between the sun and the moon, and the home has gone to eclipse, and the light of fatherhood and the light of motherhood has been blocked out, overshadowed by worldlyism, then the children become wandering stars. Chaos in the home. But the same way God delivered his attribute, he can deliver the home. He can deliver the individual. Amen. Hallelujah. So first is a perfect creation, then there's a fall. Heaven and earth. Then we see the earth without heaven. Oh man. You see man and God. And then we see man separated from God. Look at that, man and God, Adam, heaven and earth! United as one. In union. Not seen until God and Christ. God became flesh. Amen. To show the union of God and man again. Which God has restored back in these last days. That the two become one in this uniting time. Amen. Jesus prayed that they will be one as I and you are one. They prayed for that oneness. That prayer must be fulfilled. That prayer has to be fulfilled. No wonder the prophet understood what was happening when God told him, speak to the spirit, speak to the fish. God was bringing to pass that very prayer. In that day you will know I in you and you in me. Father, they behold my glory. They'll be changed into that very glory, into the very image of the Lord. Amen. See? But look at the earth now. We see the earth now without form. Somebody say a church, brother in order, minister preaching the word, deacons at the door. Amen. The special singers singing, the anointed by the Holy Spirit, musicians playing with skill and grace, playing the anointed of the Holy Spirit, and God just lifting the people up. And next time you go in a place, boy, you see the people sleeping, you see them walking and moving around all over the place. You see the musicians there, the instruments there, but no musicians. See, when the prophet say, bring me a minstrel, look for a minstrel, you don't see one. What happened? Something have happened. It's become fallen. But you see, God restores. God redeems. You know God let his perfect son fall? You know it was in God's plan? Which was first, the sin or the Savior? The Savior. Even before man was created, the lamb was already slain in the mind of God. It was God's plan. It would be discomplimentary to God's wisdom if he had made Eve in the original creation. God made Eve that she could fall. So God could come as a Savior. He could come as a healer. He could come as a deliverer. He could come as a provider. Amen! Sometimes God has to let people see where the blessings of God come from. Prophet said God will put a man on his back many times, sick in a bed, to see where the blessings of God come from, if he becomes self-secure sometimes. God can do that to an individual, can do that to a family, can do it to a nation, can do it to a church. But God can do what he wants, how he chooses to reveal himself. He is sovereign. But we benefit from the grace and the revelation of God. Because we can worship in a way now that angels can't worship him at all. When the angels fell, God never came to redeem. But when the son fell, God came walking, Adam, where art thou? Amen? Why? Because they had redeemable life. Angels might have life for billions and billions and billions of years. Everlasting life, but not eternal life. You know, Satan will be burned for billions and years in the lake of fire. But he'll come to his end. So you could have life. That could be for billions and trillions and zillions of years, but not eternal life. Amen. Yeah, you need to get in the word. Destroy to the vanishing point. End it! Everlasting destruction.
have no eternal hell. Is that right? Have everlasting punishment.
Time, you know.
All right.
You have eternal life and eternal hell. Is that right?
Sure.
So then what kind of life you have? You want to know what kind of life you have? You don't want life to live for long, and you don't want a life. Remember that kind of life, brother, you know, it can be compared to eternal life. Eternal life will bring forth God character, God nature, God faith, God virtue, God knowledge, God temperance. Will behave like God, will act like God. Is that right? You'll come forth in God's image and likeness. You'll be in relationship to God. Not just ownership. God owns everything. But everything he owns don't have relationship with him. Amen. Only those things that are in covenant with him have relationship. Amen. Covenant relationship. Hallelujah. God owned the devil. God owned the wicked. That's why he burned them. When Jesus shed his blood, he redeemed everything. He owns everything. He's judge of both the living and the dead. Is that right? So the earth was without form. The earth was without form. Or it became without form. Is what the word fully means. It became without form. It was not created without form and void, but it became without form and void. See, but no longer as God has created it. That's what is showing us here. It is setting up the background for us to show us why God moved. To show us what God moved God from his place where we had never seen him move before. We know he created, but we don't know what he's doing after that. But then we see him, next time we see him in movement. When the first time we see him moving, he is moving to deliver. He is moving to bring forth his attribute that is in a fallen condition back into a perfect Eden that he can come down and dwell in it. Amen. So when it seems destined to be trapped or be held prisoner in that dark dungeon, we read in Genesis 1, 2, and the Spirit of God moved. And I believe he is moving for some attributes that belong to him. Amen. They might be going to church. They might be reading the spoken word books. But God wants to live in them and dwell in them. God wants to bring them to the condition of a super church and a super race. God wants to bring them into the very original glory. Amen. In his own great glorious self. That they can truly reflect him. And God will not rest. Like Naomi told Ruth, that man Boaz will not rest until he redeem you completely this day. But let me tell you, there's no other day beyond this day. This is the day of redemption. The bride is going to come into a full, complete redemption, and this day is already started, brother. And there's no stopping to it. At the last trump, this mortal shall put on immortality. This corruption shall put on incorruption. God already changed the inside, already changed from glory unto glory. It is going on. Amen. So the first record we have of that move of the Spirit of God. Amen. It identifies to us what the characteristics of a true move is. And the reason that there was that move was because there was a condition existing that was holding some of God's attributes in trapped it in the darkness that it couldn't manifest the true purpose of God that God had expressed those attributes for. See, the earth wasn't created to be void and without form and darkness. It was created. It wasn't created to be trapped. It was created to bring forth life. To bring forth marine life. To bring forth plant life. To bring forth bird life. To bring forth God's own life. It was created to bring forth life. Not death. Life! But God knew that he had already set up a principle by which life could come. You see, we couldn't just stay so in this age and just get life. They couldn't do it in no age. Children of Israel couldn't come to that promise. No way they could come to that promise outside that prophet Moses coming. Peter and them couldn't. No way they could come to the baptism of the Holy Ghost outside of Jesus coming. And the first Exodus and the second Exodus were set up on that principle. The third Exodus is on the same principle.
There's no way this bride could go into that perfection except a prophet that come in this third Exodus. Amen. God always has his ministry. God always has his ordained pattern, his system set up to bring his attribute that has the potential to come to a full manifestation, to bring it to the place he has ordained for it to come. And you work by his provided way. It's not a free for all, it's not a free thinking. There is a provided way for it to be done. Amen. And look, God knows yet a purpose for it. And yet a time, there had to be a time. In other words, when God moved, it was time for God to move. It was the season for God to move. He was not going to stay still any longer. You know when they noticed the messenger, every messenger come at the end of every age? That was a pattern? Exactly. Why? Because God has a tie to everything under the sun. There's a time and a season. Everything that God does, he has a reason for doing it, and he has a purpose for doing it, and he has an ordained way to do it. That's why you can tell somebody, brother, that is not of God. And if you don't know the word, you say, well, how do you know? You're judging me. And he will think that because nobody sees him, that nobody knows it's not of God. That's carnality. The word identifies every spirit. And the word reveals every way to do everything for God, the way it ought to be done. Exactly right. So look. So God had to move. In other words, my thought is this. Look, when God had to move in this day, God had a time to get them Jews back in the homeland. And you see in the book of Revelation chapter 9, under that sixth trumpet, a voice from the four horns of the golden altar says, loose the four angels that are bound in the great river Euphrates. Because Luther Wesley, Pentecostal days, wasn't like Sodom and Gomorrah. But when Elijah come and the Son of Man has been revealed, it better be like Sodom and Gomorrah. The Jews better be in the homeland as a sign of the last generation. You know what I'm saying? Everything had to be in its place. And God has a method how to get things in their right place. Like a prophet says, you see a vision and somebody's going to be healed. But that person will be sitting in a certain place. That person will be sitting there with a hat on their head or whatever it is. He said, you can't go and put the hat on their head. It's set up a certain way. And when that is done, brother, nothing good step is going to come into pass. Amen. Why? We begin to find, you're not a hope so, you're not a wish so, you're not going to try to play down so. No. That's energies of the flesh. That's without the intelligence of the Holy Spirit. That's without the mind of Christ and what he wants done according to the situation. That is failing to see the situation in the word and know the divine approach to get the right results. But watch. God knew the Jews had to be back in the homeland. And God loosed them demons there to come upon Hitler and Eichmann and Stalin and Mussolini and them. And what they do? They slaughter them Jews and drive them back in the homeland. When Israel was in the homeland, that was a sign of the last generation. Then all the sorcery, all the things going to fill the earth, all the abominations, all the pollutions in the earth to bring on the evil age. So when one like a God and a man like a prophet came walking to Abraham, they had to have the Sodomites. They had to have a perversion of flesh. They had to have a lukewarm church like Lot down in Sodom. It had to have those things in order to identify the hour had come. The messenger is what gave the messenger faith. When he saw Ahab on the throne, when he saw Jezebel behind that Ahab, hiding behind the scenes, manipulating things, it was the sign that history in the book of Kings was repeating itself again. That's why we as believers could know we're in the last age. That's why we know that there are 7,000 who didn't bow down their knees. Amen! That's going to go in the rapture. Sure. That's why we know there's one like Abraham and Sarah going to be changed and come back young. And the Gentile world like Sodom will be burned with fire. Amen. It had to be in a certain place. God had to move. Why would God let 6 million Jews get slaughtered and then let this generation run out and pass away? What would be the purpose? What would be the purpose to gather all Joseph's brothers back and then he don't dismiss Joseph's wife to the palace? What would be the purpose? It'd be vain. So when God was moving for that attribute, he had to move because of the time to move. God never moves out of time. God always moves in season with his word.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Because in that earth, there were seeds. There were seeds laying there that needed that light. But notice when God came, he didn't say, let there be water. Or let there be wind. He knew what to call for. Because he was calling for something in relation to the condition that the attribute was trapping. Something that could break the darkness, drive it back, separate it, quicken the seed and bring it to life.
Because God wasn't playing church.
Hallelujah! The earth had to bring forth what it was ordained to bring forth.
In other words, God had the wind when he wanted the wind. And God have water when he wants water. God have fire when he wants fire. And God have light when he wants light. And there God wanted light. So he was announcing an oncoming ministry that was going to deliver the attribute from the bondage of his trapping. So God said, let there be light. And he never said the wind appeared. The wind couldn't do nothing in that condition. More water would make it more chaotic. But God said, let there be light. And the light began to come and divide. The light began to separate. Hallelujah! The light, brother, the light come to deal with the darkness. And the thing that had the attribute trapped in that condition. Amen! The darkness began to move back.
Amen! In that hour, when that light began to come forth, I want you to notice, when that light began to come forth, God began, the Bible says, and God divided the light from the darkness. It was a separator. Everything that was not to be around the attribute, God began to move it. That oncoming ministry that God announced for began to separate it and drive it back. And not only did it drive it back, it began to bring up the life that was inside of it. When it was fully made manifest on the fourth day. Maybe a Wednesday, if you want to call it that. God for the transform. So the world was in a condition, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth, and the entire picture was changed into a Garden of Eden from a chaos. That's transforming power of God. That can take something that's nothing and make something wonderful out of it. God transforming power. Not the people. It's the program that's wrong. He's typing that with people now. He said, not the people. It's the program that's wrong. He saw them people trapped in the darkness of religious systems. Nice, good people. But all that darkness of theology and man-made organization and man-made leadership and worldliness had trapped them people in that condition. He said, not the people, it's the program that's wrong. And now, what it's done, it's all headed up again and brought the whole world to a bunch of hybriding, perversion of the original seed of God to another darkened chaos. The prophet in this Laodicea age, this age where gross darkness is on the earth and gross darkness on the peoples, but arise and shine, thy light is come. Hallelujah! And the glory of the Lord is with me upon thee. In other words, God was telling the earth, little earth, my attribute, in that darkness for so long, all your potential laying inside of you, all his seed laying there to come forth, but can't come forth because of the darkness. But little earth, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the sun is risen upon thee. God, Paul says, had commanded the light to shine out of darkness, so that it shine into your heart. To give you the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul was looking back at Genesis 1 and seeing when God commanded light in Genesis to shine out. He's saying, so in this age, when the Son of Man was revealed. Hallelujah! When God himself, the one that light was talking about, because that light in Genesis, the S-U-N, was a type of the S-O-N. And when he came, the whole church world was in a darkened chaos. Bible said, they that were in darkness saw great light. They that sat in darkness saw great light. What is darkness? The absence of light. But watch. Look at this. He said, and I'm so glad that God is mindful of us again. When did the whole world come to darken chaos? He said, I'm so glad. Here's the prophet. That God is mindful of us again. That he can still move upon the face of the condition. He promised he would do it. Amen. And call a little flock that would be his bride. But if I'm looking at the agency, darkness everywhere. The people, it wasn't the people, he said, the program there was in. The man-made program had them there dead, trapped, bound up. He said, but then I said, I'm so glad. He was looking back at Genesis and saying that the Spirit of God can move. In other words, Revelation 10:1 is the Spirit of God. He is moving. Is that right? Yeah. Revelation 10:3-4, what is he doing? And he began to speak. And seven thunders utter the voices. And what is that supposed to do? Bring a bride, turn her heart literally back to the faith of the fathers. Bring her back to her original condition. So the Spirit of God is moving. That's what this message is all about. Amen. The move of God in the last days. The message of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The word of God that is coming forth. Amen. God, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And John 4:24, and God is a spirit. So God is the word, and God is the spirit, and the spirit and the word is the same. Not two different things. It's a person. One form is as word, one form is as spirit. The word is King Theophany. He said, the angel of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Amen. King Theophany, Jesus. He's the word. He's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's the word is made flesh. The fullness of the God bodily, the spirit, the word was dwelling in Jesus Christ, the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. See, we have to come away. So now we have this Pentecostal idea. Sometimes. That's not a word. Just the word I speak is spirit and life. Amen. Not just watch the word, how it moves. What's the character of the word? What's the pattern of the word? What's the operation of the word? What's the principle that the word works by? Watch the word in the Bible yesterday. Watch it in the life of the prophet in this day. Watch what's going to be in the bride. It will always be the same. Amen. Now look. I'm so glad that God is mindful of us again. He can still move upon the face of the condition. He promised he would do it and call the flock. That would be his bride. Notice here again now how perfect these churches tie these Edens. In other words, that Eden, what is happening here, from that chaos to become that Eden, is exactly how God is bringing a bride out of this dark little DC condition to be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. How perfect it tapped them Edens. The same move. So what Genesis 1 is not just a record of creation. It's a mystery of the seventh seal. It's a mystery of God in these last days moving. It's a mystery of God delivering his attribute. Amen. The very first thing you read in the Bible testifies of the message in the end time that we are sitting under right now. The very same God, history repeating itself again. Same plan of redemption for the earth is the same plan that is redeeming the man right now. Not another thing. Why? That is why you can have faith. That is why you don't have to be confused. That is why you have to be wondering. Maybe you don't get frightened over nothing. The word is drive the fears away, amen, and perfect what is lacking in your faith. And God is true to his promise. It's impossible for God to lie. There's a man that could turn on the light. He says, now light, the first time light we find in the Bible, it's found right here in Genesis 1, verse 3. First time we ever hear about light. Nobody didn't know what light was until we found light in the Bible. Then we see what light is. We see what light does. We see how light comes into manifestation. we understand something about light. And we understand something about light, natural light, which was made to help us understand the eternal light. Because the first Bible God wrote was nature. God is revealing his creation. So God created so the work will reflect the workman. Like every artist, every great painter, every great sculptor, the work reflects the character. It reveals the person. And so we see God here, how he does it. And he the first time we find light, so we find right in the Bible, when God spoke and his word is manifested, and we saw the purpose light came for. Light came to bring life. Light came to deliver the attribute of God. Light came to drive away all darkness from around the attribute of God. That's what light come for. It shall be light at the evening time. Amen. He's the light of the world. When the light, he said, John was a brilliant and shining light. Amen. But he said, I have greater witness than John. He's the true light, the light that every man that come into the world. Amen. Light. Light has come. What for? To deliver his attribute, to drive the darkness, to bring up the characteristic in the seed that is laying dormant. Amen. They can come forth to do it for a resurrection. Light come to bring a resurrection so that their life can give witness of the God who is moving among the people. In his great work, delivering the move of God's Spirit. Amen. You see, now when you see his word being vindicated or other words made known, proved, the light of his spoken word. And without light, nothing can live. Without light, there is no life. See, that's why we preach a historical message. It can't bring life. It might bring education. It might give information. It might make debaters and theorists out of us. But light brings the word to life. Light will produce written epistles out of all men. Amen. See? There's no eternal life outside the Son of God. See, all life comes by the sunlight, bottom life on this. And there's no eternal life outside the Son of God. He is the life. And I believe that the sun and so forth is already in existence. I believe. The moon as it goes on. Genesis 2, to explain it. But I believe what was here. See, I believe all was in existence already. The sun was in existence already. The moon was in existence already. Why? Because God created the heavens and the earth. See, that the world, we was going to use it. Therefore, and it moved, in the air was fog and mist all over the earth, making it dark. And God said, let there be light. And the darkness faded away, and there was a cloudless sky. And I believe that's God's way of doing things. Here the prophet says, he said, I believe that's God's way of doing things. He says, look at this dark, chaotic age. God is again moving in the face of the condition. Because it's not the people, it's the program they was in. Have them in a dark and chaotic condition. Amen. He said, no, he says, we see light. The first time we find in Genesis 1. We see what it does. We see the move of God when God moved. We see what happened to the attribute that was bound. He said, I believe that's God's way of doing things. And listen to this. God ever does the same thing. When he gets ready to use anything, like he got ready to use this old star, whatever it was, this world, he had to separate the light from the darkness. Before he got to use it, he had to separate the light from the darkness. Before he used Paul, he had to take all Pharisees out of him. Is that right? Before he used Moses, he had to separate all that from him. Is that right? Sure. He made sure John didn't get tied up in the Pharisee organization where his daddy was. He sent him out in the wilderness. Is that right? Glory. That's God's pattern. You watch it. Watch the principle. It don't change. See, you don't have to fuss with people. When you see the word is clear. The word speaks for itself. Now look. God ever does the same. When he gets ready to use anything, he separates the light from the darkness. When he gets ready to use a group of people, he has to separate the light from the darkness. When he gets ready to use an individual, he separates the light from the darkness. So he gets ready to use an attribute, he gets ready to use a group of people, he gets ready to use an individual. When he's getting ready to use prophet, you have to separate all them things from around him. Is that right? Yeah, but all of the darkness of a compromising spirit of a temper like a buzzsaw. Is that right? God has to separate that out him before Jacob could become Israel at the daybreak when the morning star came out. Hallelujah! A mighty angel came down to tear the Jacob out him, to transform him into Israel. He didn't have to run no more. He didn't have to try no more schemes. He got to walk out and face Esau. The thing he ran from, he got to walk and face it. So when he gets ready to use an individual, when he, and we saw he used Revelation 10:7, an individual. Now he's getting ready to use a group of people. Revelation 10:11. He will do it by the same principle. Amen. Hallelujah. It'll be a continuation of the same revelation. The first fruit will be a pattern of what the rest of the harvest will be like.
Light comes by God. Remember, the light comes by spoken word. How does the light come to bring light? By the spoken word. Not a sensation. Not an imagination. Not a dream somewhere. Light comes by spoken word. There's a word allotted for every age. Here's the plan of it. A seal open. A mystery unfolds. The messenger in the earth catches the revelation. He begins to speak it. The word that was sealed up is now revealed and being spoken. What is happening? Light is coming to the age. What the light is going to do? Separate them from the system. What did Luther light do? Pull them out of Catholicism. What did I do? Pull them out of Methodism. What did Malachi 4 light do? Pull them out of Pentecostalism. Is that right? Sure. And then judgment always follow the light. Because there's a condemnation, light has come, men choose darkness rather than light. Not drinking, smoking, coming adultery. This is the condemnation. He that believeth not is condemned already. To live as moral as he wants is condemned already because he believed not. What? Light. Light coming by what? The spoken word. God's pattern. You want to read the move of God? The word must be spoken. Before the word be spoken, it must be revealed. Amen. You must recognize what part of the word you are. Oh, friends, it's nothing to be afraid of. It's something to yield to and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Because it is God's word. It's the Bible. Amen. Look. Did you remember the light come by spoken word? The word was God. God said, let there be light. When there was no light, he sent the light to separate the darkness from the light. This word of command cleared the sky so the sun could shine in. And his word today is what clears back all the atmospheres of unbelief. His word today being spoken, amen, clears back the atmospheres of unbelief. What for? So that little attribute, God's spoken word, God expressed thought in your earth, amen, could come up and give forth witness and testimony in a spiritual resurrection. When Paul came forth, God said, that's apostle life, that's prophet life. Amen? When Philip came forth, God said, that's evangelist life. When Dorcas came forth, God said, that is seamstress life, that's believer life there. Sure. See, God had all kinds of life. Amen. He's a songwriter come. God said that songwriting life, this singing life here, this deacon life, this trusty life. It's a great ecology, amen, system. Amen. It's a great chain of life. Giving testimony of God, every member in the body expressing the attribute that they are, being placed positionally, and everybody making up the great glorious body of Jesus Christ. Amen. So look and see. This great thing. This marvelous thing that we are looking at, this wonderful picture. The word coming forth, driving back the atmosphere of unbelief. Bring it back to life. Because when it came forth, God looked at marine life and said it was good. God looked at botany life, it was good. When God looked at the pianist, he must say it's good. When he looked at the song leader, he must say it's good. When you look at the people on the bench, you must say it's good. When you look at the mothers taking care of the children, you must say it's good. When you look at the father's stage, you must say it's good. When you see the relationship between husband and wife, you must say it's good. Amen. But if you only have church business here under this roof, forget it. The light came
to bring life.
God created
Eden. Eden means my delight. God's bride is like a watered garden, a cultivated field.
Didn't Paul say that?
1 Corinthians 3. Go to Song of Solomon.
That God come and eat his pleasant fruit. Come into the garden. Amen. Glory. Now watch. Oh, I don't know what we ought to be as believers in this hour. What we ought to be seeing and where we ought to be walking. What we ought to be under expectation of praise. And I trust tonight you will understand me right. Amen. Because I believe. I believe God gives me this to preach. Amen. I believe He anointed me to preach it right now. Amen. And you know why? Because I believe it's a beginning, it's a genesis. That's where we start, in a genesis. It's a move of God. I believe it's a move of God. And I believe the Spirit of God has called for what will deal with the darkness. What will separate the light. What will bring the life out to give testimony. And I believe it's God's time. The appointed time has come that the attribute will not stay in darkness any longer. Amen. That the transforming power will go to work in the seeds to transform it into the species that God ordained it to be. It will be transformed into the very image of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. This is me throwing up a rock here tonight.
Put something in motion.
All right, so let me get time to preach. The word should settle it. The word should settle it. If you see the word, you see where you're walking, the way it's clear. Have no more.
Amen. You don't rest in the fact that a vote or this or that. He said, that's the word. God choose before we could even choose. God gone ahead before we could even see anything. That way your confidence rests. If you would have rested, well, not me. I had my hand in my pocket, so the car says me. And, you know, you gotta go through that. You see the word, you hear the word. Heaven will pass away. That word will never, ever pass away. When you see the word of God can come to you, like that, to bring faith into your heart, so you can please God. God wants you to please Him. And if God says, please me, God, and you don't have faith, God knows you have to give your faith to please Him. He wouldn't demand you to please Him, and then you can't please Him without faith. And faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word. And then the Spirit must come upon that word to quicken that word and make it real to you.
You'll get to understand me after a while. You'll know when I talk, I'm not boasting. I'm not having confidence in the flesh. I'm not being presumptuous. I just have confidence in God. Because God has made it that real in my heart. And sometimes people get a little intimidated and they feel a little strength in the pulpit. They feel, boy, that thing will go overboard or something. No. Don't be afraid of that. But I'm going to be looking for the humility in the presence of Jesus Christ. And we could speak a million words, but let Him speak one. He always will give witness to His truth. And He put something inside of you to try every spirit to see whether you do it. And remember, you don't try it by some imagination, you try it by the word. And if they don't speak according to the law and their prophets, they have no light in them. But if they speak according to the law and the prophets, then believe it, receive it into your heart, and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. So, total separation of all unbelief. He says, now the thought of God, God's word, calling a total separation. We only know this by as we read the word and see the word manifest itself. Now in the beginning, Genesis 1:3, we find that there was darkness upon the earth, and the Spirit of God moved upon the water and said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. So the word of God began to separate the light from the darkness from the beginning. So does it remain to this day. He said in the beginning, first time God ever spoke, move and speak, we saw what His word did. Then every time God move and speak, His word will do the same thing. You think when that earth saw that sun blazing
fiery ball, that amber sun roaring coming through the air. Brother, all that darkness that had it so cold and, brother, like instead of deadly atmosphere, begin to see them things move back and begin to feel the warmth rays of the sun. You think that earth was saying, it's too hot, it's too hot, I was enjoying myself in this cold and now in the darkness. You think the earth was trying to say, look, all my darkness leaving me, and I was angry about it. The earth was glad. The earth began to shout, amen, the earth began to rejoice. Hallelujah! The earth said, I long for that, amen. My soul long for that. Oh, Lord, you remembered me, amen. Hallelujah! So I've been moved away. And remember, the earth didn't have to work itself up for deliverance. It had to struggle with all its earthly ability to free itself. God, in sovereign grace, did something for the earth couldn't do for itself. God, right there, sure it was been by grace, not by might or by power. Not him that word or him that run, but God that showed mercy by my spirit, said the Lord. So right there we see the doctrine of grace. Right there we see the move of God in his sovereignty. Right there we see God cannot stay away from his attribute no matter what condition that he's in. Amen. If God made it for our purpose, even though he's not serving the purpose, God is going to get it and bring it in the channel. It will fulfill the purpose of God. It's all here in Genesis, teaching us and showing us this great thing that's happening, but it's still the same. Still the same. Amen. See? So he says here, so the word of God began to separate the light from the darkness, the beginning, so does it remain to this day. God was going to use the earth. Get it? And it was in total darkness. God is getting ready to use the earth. He had put all the seeds in the air to bring up an Eden. He was getting ready to use it, and he couldn't use it because of the condition it was in. And the time was far spent, and so God decided to move. As I say, if God don't bring up this bride to what she ought to be, and the generation run out, what is the purpose he let them Jews be slaughtered for? What is the purpose he run them back in the homeland? What is the purpose he let two world wars bust up the whole earth and bring it into bird pens until it's falling apart? If God will be defeated his own purpose. And if God had put all those seeds in that earth, and then that earth trapped in darkness, and it could not come forth in an expression, and then God don't go and deliver it so it can fulfill its purpose, God would be defeating its purpose. And if God have you to drop from your mother's womb what you are and put abilities inside of you, amen, a soul of God, a thought of God, an attribute of God in your earth, and then have you, brother, to go from one ditch to the next and then don't come to bring you out of it to fulfill his purpose, then God will be defeating his purpose. Amen. Amen. So God moved to his attribute. Amen. And God declared war on darkness. Hallelujah. And God began to bring his seeds to life. Glory. And he kept brooding. Until it fitted exactly his great blueprint. He says, it's good. It's very good. It was exactly what he had in his mind. Amen. Hallelujah. God's word separated, see? He says, he's going to use the earth. It's in total darkness. The Spirit of God spoke out and separated the light from the darkness. And it's been doing that ever since, separating light from darkness. God's word always separates the water from the land. In the beginning, he spoke, and the water was separated from the land. And so he had a reason for that. God never speaks a word unless he got a reason for speaking that word. He's not like you and I. God speaks every word with a meaning and something that he is trying to achieve and will achieve by his word, and will perform exactly what he said he will do. Amen. Amen. And paragraph 19, he says, and today he does the same thing. When we are in gross darkness, as I spoke on Sunday, he has spoken Shalom Sunday. He referring back to it. Darkness upon the land and upon the people, and gross darkness in the midst of all of this. He is still speaking his word of life to those who want to believe it. In Shalom, Brother Abraham knew that ministry, the Son of Man being revealed, was separating. It was the move of God, Revelation 10:1. Amen. The pressing coming of the great light. Hallelujah. Amen. Coming in the air. What for? separating light from darkness, bringing up people out from the church world, amen, from an exodus from unbelief into faith, from captivity to deliverance. Amen. God was doing a great work for his people. Amen. He was tired of all the darkness, and so he called for something that could transform, something that could raise up, something that could drive back the darkness, something that could bring a resurrection, something that could break change all that coldness into warmth, into divine love, all that fear, all that doubt, all that hurt and all that pain, all that wounds, and heal it, amen, and bring joy and gladness and peace and stability, amen. And only God's word can do it, amen. In you only wanting to change the situation, he called for it. Let, dear. It was the expression of perfect intelligence. It was the expression of divine wisdom. It was the omniscient God knowing what is needed in that situation. He says, let there be light. See, he was announcing an uncommon ministry that was going to bring deliverance to his attributes that was trapped in that darkness. And here we see the earth, the attribute in that condition, but God moved because he had a purpose to fulfill. That darkness couldn't linger any longer, friend. And I'm saying all these things is going to move back. Not by might, by power, by his spirit. Those things can only stay for so long. The angel told the prophet, he said, that sickness is only 6 inches long. It has to go back. When it run out of the 6 inches? Because God himself is going to come in the form of a snow white dove. Amen! Glory! The spirit of God move, it means it fluttered like a dove, is what the word means in the Hebrew. It fluttered like a dove. That way, Brother Bram used the word, it brooded. It hovered. Look at Paul. He was trapped in that darkness of theology and organization. But he was an attribute. Trapped in that system. He called it, when I was shut in my mother's womb, that Pharisee womb, God separated him. Amen. The light came, the pillar of fire on the road to Damascus. See? If God don't move now, friend, you watch and see. And God had a purpose. God had a purpose for Paul. Even that chaotic condition he was in. He was so bent out of shape, he was persecuting the true church. Is that right? Yeah. But he was calling it the devil and heresy, and he had nothing to do with that. Not Paul, so not he. That could never influence him, and he was going to fight it down to the end and mash it up if he could. And then he said, the way that is called heresy, so do I worship the God of my fathers now. Is that right? Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the song that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amen. See, the hour has arrived. God's purpose, which he had for Paul, had to be fulfilled. So the Spirit of God, the pillar of fire, moved on the scene. And God began to speak, let there be light. Paul say in Ephesians 5, we was once darkness, but now are we light. Is that right? And God said, he will become a light to the Gentiles. Amen. You're going to bear my name to the Gentiles. Glory. Paul said, it pleased God to separate from my mother to reveal his son in me that I might preach him to the Gentiles. Amen. Glory. That darkness left the seed that was laying in that earth down inside of there, it came to life. And the kind of life that came forth from that earth, God was able to reveal Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Was life that could say, I perceive you, you have faith to be healed, rise to your feet and walk. Amen. Chosen, speaking for a specific ministry to deal with the condition that held God's attribute in chaos. Then, God's spoken word began to be made manifest. The light itself was a reality. It wasn't a glare. It was real light with quickening power. Amen. Power to quicken and change. Power to ripen and mature. Power to raise up into a higher order. Life is a higher order than death. Health is a higher order than sickness. Strength is a higher order than weakness. Amen. See? God is raising up in a higher order. Bring it up to another level for me. Darkness began to be identified. He separated and he called the darkness night.
Is that right? First he identified the darkness. Then he named it. He called it darkness. Then he exposed it by naming it. And then he separated it completely. And brother, you watch and see anything that is darkness around your life, he's going to name it. You gotta be scared. He's going to identify it. He's going to expose it. Whatever is light that reveal and make manifest. Let me tell you, if you want to be under a message that's not exposing and not revealing, not bringing up anything, you'll be sitting under a glare. And you won't have life, you'll have religion. You should be glad when you're under a message that's scouring out, cleaning, cutting, separating, but a dry flows from you. You know why? Because it'll keep changing you and you will see your life keep advancing every day. Amen. And you will know your grind and you will not be stagnated. Amen. So many today missing the move of God. See? The 15th, life was in seed form. It was dormant in the earth. It began to be expressed. The first thing was the movement of the Spirit. They begin to speak. God's voice. Calling for a special ministry to drive the darkness back. Then the spoke will begin to be made manifest. Begin to bring up all the light. Then the darkness, God drove it back, name it, expose it, identify it, separate it completely. And then the fifth thing, life that was in seed form, laying dormant, begin to be expressed. Having power in itself to transform itself. There's quickening power and there's transforming power. Is the rising of the sun? He speaks about quickening power. But God poured a transform, poured transformation. He's talking about transforming power. One is the sunlight. The word made manifest to reveal the Son of Man. Quickening you. Mama eagle flying and then quickening baby eagle. But then transforming power. You have something you're growing and maturing and adding. Amen. Changing you from glory unto glory. Bringing you to be just like Mama in the same expression. Coming to your full potential. Then it came up to what God ordained it to be. Amen. So you see Genesis 5, 1 to 5, it holds a revelation for every attribute of God. You are an attribute of God tonight. You are an attribute of God tonight. Then you know then that it might have some darkness around you, but God have an ordained way. And that move of God, you watch it, watch the grace of God, have those characteristics. It's going to work through that pattern. It's going to come through that channel. Watch the results that's going to follow it. See? The scripture shows us. It shows how he moves on the scene. It shows when the hour arrives and that he cannot defeat his purpose. And it shows us why he moved, when he moved, why he moved, and the results that follow every move. When God moved, his attributes was no longer in bondage. Could never be. God moving and God people bound up. God moving in the midst and God people not being changed from glory to glory. God moving and God people getting a resurrection. God moving and darkness staying around God people's lives and smothering them out. Oh, forget it. Somebody's lying. Somebody missed the blueprint. Amen. When God is moving, you watch the first time move and watch every time he moves. Watch what happens. See? But look. See? Why did he move? Some of his attributes. Say to me, Lord, I feel I need some deliverance tonight. See? It was God's sovereignty. Right there from that move. From time God said, let there be light. The earth's troubles has ended. The earth's troubles has ended. Let me tell you. Your troubles are ended, friend. If you could begin to walk in the word, you could recognize what I'm saying tonight. If you could recognize this on the first of the 12th, on this Wednesday, on this fourth day, if you could recognize what I'm saying, your troubles are ended. Move when God is moving. See, the earth might have tried God's earthly ability to shake off the darkness or to come out of the chaotic condition, but it couldn't do it of itself. God had a provided way for everything. Amen? Praise his wonderful name. So, may God help give us confidence. I know you spoke with me coming. And I appreciate
You're expressing the confidence in me, and I'm praying to God to be loyal and faithful to the charge that I will not be a stumbling block to you, but I'll be able to help you as God's people, as the purchase of His blood. And when I look in the Word and I see that back in the Bible, you watch when different ones came into office in the Bible, Hezekiah, Josiah, different ones, Jehoshaphat, and brother, they come into a place there and it was, people have had defeat after defeat after defeat, idolatries in every hill, you know, and every grove was all in the land, the house of God was broken down, the altar of God was in disrepair, and, you know, the people are no longer singing the songs of David anymore, and then they had to see the need, and they had to call upon the people and rally them together to make them conscious of the needs. And when the people begin to catch a vision of the present and the future, then they could get under the burden. And friends, it's going to take us working together under the burden of what is required in this hour to see what broke when them seven seals opened, the light shone through the mouth of that prophet. What is required in this age? If you, as a believer, tonight you might be so bound, and you want to rise up and you say, well, I want to go, but that, you know, I don't know if I could even mount up. Let me tell you, you just have a willing heart and a willing mind, and God is going to make a way for you by God's grace. You believe. When Peter was sinking down, Jesus says, I be not afraid. Come, be of good cheer. And he began to believe that, and he began to step out in that realm that, brother, it seemed like he was doing something foolish. And all the rest in the boat say, boy, not me, no. I told Peter to get carried away fast. Look how he's getting taken up in that. You see something there? I tell him it's a spirit, you know. I tell him it's some ghost out there, and you see. And brother, from the time he said, I sink, you see one stick next to him, and say, see the same thing I tell you? And brother, he lifted him back up. The prophet says he was obeying the word. Even though he was failing in trying to, because he was trying to obey, the Lord is obligated to raise him back up. He's only trying to obey the word. And let me tell you, you know, some of you, the Bible thing will be a great shaking down. It'll be a shaking down for me, it'll be a shaking down for you. But together we'll make it by the grace of God. I'm not looking for my ability, I'm looking for the word, I'm looking for the Holy Spirit. He's going to take the dynamics and the mechanics together. He's going to take the word and the spirit. He's going to take hearts that are ready to receive the word and say, be it unto us, O Lord, according to thy word. Nevertheless, at thy word. Amen. Brother, they had fish all night, and they said, I tell you, I'm not inside of there, you know. I experienced fisherman. My father was fish on this lake. I fish on this lake. I fish all night. I seine, a trawl, I use line. You have nothing there. But nevertheless, at thy word. They didn't see a carpenter talking to a fisherman. If they see a carpenter talking to a fisherman, they have that little kind of complex, well, I know more than him. But they recognize divine authority in the office. They recognize by the way he spoke, he knew what he was saying. And they had faith. It brought a faith into their heart for them to step out into it. And, you know, there's many things that would have to be set in order, and I really want to say I appreciate very much the cooperation. Make it very easy for me, I think. I think with the General Assembly, how you express your confidence in asking me to come and preach the word to you. You have to believe I'm a servant of God. You have to believe it's the word I'm going to stand here and preach. And then, but a fortune, especially I really sincerely appreciate his cooperation and burden for the church here, because I found that there's no guile in his heart, that he wants the best for the assembly. And I'm very thankful to know that you're coming in and you have people already have a burden that whatever way the Spirit would want to go and stand in the whatever they want to just throw in by God's grace. So I trust even tonight you're hearing the word that it has spoken something to your heart. And there's many, many areas. This is not a one-day business. because I will need to find out who are the families in the assembly. I will need to know the widows in the assembly. I will need to know the divorced people in the assembly. I will need to know who are separated in the assembly. I will need to know the betrothed, who are betrothed in the assembly. I need to know the single people in the assembly. I need to know the status of everybody. Because my principle is there is one way provided by God for everything. And if the assembly made up and you have divorced people, then we'll have to get very clear what we believe, how people should conduct themselves, what is the word and those things. If you have separated people, then we have to get those things clear. If you have widows, then they have their place in the world as well. If you have people who are betrothed, I don't believe in girlfriend and boyfriend business. They won't teach them kind of things. And, you know, it have a way for all these things by God's grace. So in coming, I say, you can tell me right now. You can revote, you know, if you want. But, we'll need to even have maybe on different levels some meetings with those who maybe lead song, those who sing, those who play music, different things, that whatever department, whatever gift is laying, you know, then for things like the Lord's Supper, baptismal service, feet washing, communion, you know, all these things that is ordinances that have been left for us to carry out and fulfill in the house of God, that we have a clear understanding with all these things, and as a local assembly, the way that these things are run for the edification of the believers, that the church might be properly established. Then already I know you have a building, you have assets in the building, and you have all these things, and all these things, I guess, when I get a chance to talk with the officers, that, you know, you all have all these things, run properly, and all these things, I guess, you all have. There'll be some things that would have to be in place. There is something that may just go along. I don't know how the deacons function. I don't know if there are people here the church is responsible for at present, maybe taking care of in food and clothing and different things. I don't know. I don't know people in the past who had keys and, to different things in the house of God can come in, have access to things back and forth. And, you know, all these things, when you run a church, you have a house, you have a family, you must have an order, you must know who goes, who comes, who does what, who does. Otherwise, you'll only have a figurehead preacher. And then you're doing it what you want. So I don't believe we believe in a tyrann business, and I don't believe we believe in disorder. I believe if we talk about Ephesians, parallel Joshua, we talk about everybody placed positionally, that's what the Holy Spirit is going to come down upon. Everybody find their place. And if it's the word put us all and place us out by God's grace. But the whole object is not so much to do this and do this and do this as far as a lot of the mechanics. We will be trying to be faithful in all the things as pertain to the mechanics. But then most of all, we want that you can feel satisfied that it is the word. Once you know it's the word, then it is easy just to walk under the headship of the word. If it's a man, then you have a reservation. If it's the word, then you recognize the bridegroom. You recognize the revealed word. You recognize your mate. You recognize the God of the message. Amen. The headship that is settled on the body. And that's what we're looking for by God's grace. And I trust that even things like Sunday school and all these things, I don't know how they run. I don't know what they teach. I don't know what is the emphasis, what is the trust. But I would like, you know, to say this tonight, that as we would go along, we try to get through the aspect of some of these things quickly, and then there would have to be maybe some rescheduling of services so that everything can be compatible and all the saints can benefit in what is best and beneficial to the body of believers by God's grace. So we want to be flexible. We want to make ourselves available. And the reason I try to preach tonight instead of spending the time on the other things, I wanted to be settling everybody's heart first that what they're hearing is the word. Not one service, not two services. But when you're satisfied, that's a servant of God, and it's the word of God that comes out of his mouth. Not some man's thoughts, not some vain repetition, not some well-worn-out explanation, but as your word, then the heart of a believer can easily go to the word. No heart of no believer resists the word. And when you settle for that, then you know you're under the headship of the word. Then you can walk without reservation, without questions. Then you're not unequally yoked. But if we try to be unequally yoked, we could be pulling both ways. But when we equally yoke, with the yoke of the word, we can walk step by step by God's grace. So, service is Sunday. Again, Lord willing, I have a guest that will be speaking to me on Sunday from overseas, and I can't be there because I told him I have the commitment here to try to preach to you, and I know sometimes things can be conflicting like that. So, as maybe Sunday we get a time to talk a little more in some of these other areas by God's grace, and we have some of the other saints here. We have some people in Princeton who will be here, and we're glad to see them here tonight as well, that they can be here. And we have some of the saints who had left that is here tonight as well. And we trust by God's grace that we wouldn't find a little bickering. We're going to drop everything. Let me tell you, if we come in there, you see, you follow me as I follow Christ. I don't have no problem with this side, or I don't have no problem with this side. So if you're going to get problem with the Grecians against the other ones, and then this one and that one, and you get that division in your mind, you're going to have problems. Let's just get away from that, and let's realize that was the old thing. And the old thing is really die, and tonight all that darkness will be moved back. That is part of the darkness. That is part of it. But that God didn't put that in the seed. That cannot reveal Jesus Christ. That cannot glorify God, and that cannot fulfill the word for the hour. That is going to hinder and paralyze the work of the Holy Spirit, and all that is part of the darkness that the word is to drive away. So may God drive that away tonight. May the sharp word just circumcise and cut away that flesh. And may the salt of his word be poured into the bitter waters and just heal it. And may the handful of meal just fall into the pot and remove the dead out of the pot. And we can have a real clear vision before us what we are walking by God's grace. Is that all right? Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's just bow our heads. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we gather around your great presence here tonight, sitting under the influence of your word, looking at this scripture, Lord, no wonder it stumbles the atheists and the agnostics. They don't even believe in creation. The scientists refute it, yet we see the verified factors upon which science is based. Written right in the air. Yet we see a very pattern, a blueprint of the move of the Spirit of God. How you deal with every attribute of God. Yet we see this great seventh seal mystery. Lord, right here in the opening verses. Surely you are hidden in your word, Lord. But what joy it is to our hearts when we begin to see you take the mask off of yourself. And begin to unveil and reveal yourself out of your own word. We can see you. We can see your character. We can learn of your ways. We can understand, dear God, how you work. We can know how to come into a true relationship, how to come into harmony, how to be able to please you, how to take these principles and apply them in our church, in our own lives. Surely it's written for examples. We thank you, Father. I pray, dear God, as we feel so inspired tonight, you gave us this message. Lord, as the beginning of this new phase in the history of the lives of these your children. Oh, gracious God, and seeing today the first of the 12th, Lord. Very fourth day in the week, and all these things are tied to the very scripture itself. Father, I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit would make these things that are so simple, Lord, stand out in such a way that we can see the God who is so great yet can make himself so simple. How you hide yourself in simplicity and reveal yourself in humility and make yourself simple to be understood by the simple.
The wise miss it by a million miles many times. Stumble off it, Lord. But oh, God, what an anchor it brings to the heart of your children. When we can recognize the unchangeable God still working in an unexpected way. The same yesterday and today and forever. Behold, you are God and you change not. Oh, God. Take this word and make it real, Lord, in every heart. Let it anchor and go deep down on the inside. May, dear God, this light continue to shine and burn so bright. Paul says, you who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, so shine into our hearts, giving the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see gross darkness upon the earth and upon the people. Arise and shine, you said, thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee, and it shall be seen. Oh, God, to know that this one was a darkened chaos, became a beautiful Eden, became a habitation that God himself condescended. Hallelujah! Oh, precious God. Lord, that we can see and experience these great realities. May faith catch that tonight, Father. May the Holy Spirit, that Spirit move like a dove, like when John saw the Spirit of God moving in the middle of the Bible. How it settled down upon the world at the Jordan River. And then it began to see what followed that move when the word began to speak. How he took the scriptures and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled. Oh, God, when that Spirit moved on the day of Pentecost and settled down upon that church, and Peter began to speak and say, this is that which Joel spake. Lord, every time His Spirit moved, we saw the same characteristics. Whether it's in the Old Testament, the New Testament, or in the last days, or even here tonight. Oh, gracious God, let that word fall into rich faith. Give faith where it's lacking, Father. Drive away all fears and doubts. Break the power of all evil and all darkness. Might try to oppress the minds of your people. Give witness and confirmation. To bring an end of all strife in the mind. It's an oath of confirmation. Bring an end to all strife. Give an anchor of the soul a hope steadfast and sure. God is willing more abundantly to show to the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel. You confirmed it by an oath. Knowing that it is impossible for you to lie, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would so make your word real. And the things that should be set in order, Paul told Timothy, set in order things that are wanting. And let all things be done in decency and in order. Lord Jesus, you who transformed that dark chaos into a beautiful Eden where you place marine life in its place, botany life in its place, animal life in its place, put God's own life over it all. Oh, God, it was in order. It was just the way that it pleased you to do it. And you said it's good, and God and man was in harmony. And a great oneness existed in the Garden of Eden. So, dear God, we pray that you would set everything in order. It would be so pleasing in your sight that you will see it very good. And your people will be pleased and satisfied to see that they are benefiting and that they are growing in grace and in knowledge of the Lord and they are being delivered and experiencing the great realities of God's promise in this word in this evening time. May you grant it, Father. We believe tonight. We ask with confidence. Knowing we are asking according to your already expressed desire. And we are taught in your word, we have the petition we desire for you. We ask according to your will. So may you grant it. Bless each and every one. Take them safely to their homes. Watch over them. Be with them in their habitations, O God. May the Holy Spirit bring back to their remembrance. Cause them to meditate upon you. Let it dwell richly in their hearts by faith. And Father, knowing that we would come back on Sunday morning, oh God. Lord, we are looking forward that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would just bring to pass all that is needed. We have confidence you are the author and the finisher of our faith. We commit everything into your hands and everyone into your hands. May your peace be upon thy children. Grant it, Lord. We love you. We commit all that we pray and ask for in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that you'll attend to it and it will be done speedily according to thy perfect will. For we believe in the precious, lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Now, if you, today's Wednesday, I don't know if you all have prayer service sometimes. You all have prayer service on Friday or anything else? Okay. You all can, you don't have prayer service. And as I say, Sunday we try to get through a lot of details because most of what needs to be worked out would need to be worked out with those who are holding office because they would need to have an insight into the mechanism and how things have been run and what would be appropriate for this new beginning and the direction we are trying to move that God's will can be done for each and every one and benefit. And I would maybe have to get a better point to say I would like to know all the different ones in the assembly and the status and these things to know who you are preaching to and to know basically what the congregation is made up with so that you can truly minister to the needs of the people and not just bring messages and these things, but just to really begin to work with what is needed by God's grace. So let's just see this little cause. God rich in mercy, God rich in love, you may have a seat. Send us the best from heaven above. God rich in mercy, God rich. Send us his son, we were undone. God's rich in mercy, God's rich in grace, God's rich in grace, God's rich in love. Send us the best from heaven above. Send us the best from heaven above. Saying to all men today, saying to all men today, God's rich in mercy, God's rich in mercy, God's rich in mercy. God bless you. We are dismissed. God bless you.